So let us learn Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky's Torah on this week's Parsha, Parshas B'Shalach. And we'll start from the bottom of page 310. Vayomer Moshe b'seis Hashem lachem ba'erev basar lecha v'lechem ba'boker l'svaya. This is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you at night meat to eat, and in the morning you're going to get bread. So Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of giving them the daily menu. What are you going to be eating in the midbar? Very pasha. At night you're going to have a nice piece of meat, and in the morning you'll have a fresh bagel, and it'll be good. Betchila, this is a Gemara in Yuma. Hay Yisrael, daimen kitarne gailen hamenakrin ba'ashba. Ad sheba Moshe v'kavalam zman se'uda. So the Gemara in Yuma says that originally, before Moshe Rabbeinu made this statement or made this schedule for Klal Yisrael, we were just basically like tarnagailim that were menachem ba'ashba, like chickens that were like just pecking around in the garbage dump. You know, we're not particular. Whenever you eat whatever, like yeshiva bachur meat, right? You don't have a necessarily breakfast, lunch, and supper unless you're on the meal plan. But otherwise, you just like you have a, you know, you chop a bagel and then you go into the hefker room and you see what's there, and then the afternoon you go up to the, you know, there's just, you're picking around like a chicken, like you're not, there's no schedule. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. Every day you're going to have meat at night, you're going to have a nice square breakfast of bread and stuff in the morning. And Moshe Rabbeinu was kaiveya azman su'uda. Fractor Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, yesh lahavin ma'aravusa. What's the chiddush over here? V'chizeh shivchei shal Moshe. Is this the biggest praise we could give Moshe Rabbeinu? Manchel ha'tayra, he was the one that gave us over the Tayra. Shehelano mitahaim memtes shari tuma liyaisenu dardeya. He brought us out of the memtes shari tuma to be, make us into a dardeya. Ad l'rasa shivcha l'ayam ash l'ra yichesko b'nevua. Chazal tell us that a shivcha l'ayam saw something that Yechesko did not see, b'nevua. That's how great the Hiskalos of the Shechina was by Kriyas Yamsuf. A Shivcha Alayam, a regular Shivcha, a little mere maidservant was able to behold more of the Shechina than even Yechezkel ben Buzi, one of the greatest Nevi'im. And this was all under Moshe Rabbeinu's direction. Moshe Rabbeinu was orchestrating the greatness of the star. He was Mekabel HaTaira. He had Nevuah. He got us out of Memtei Shari Tum. He had a great legacy, Moshe Rabbeinu, of tremendous accomplishments. And now, this is the crowning moment for Moshe Rabbeinu. Forget everything else. He made a menu for Klal Yisrael. He made the meal plan for Klal Yisrael. This is what you're eating in the Chazal. So, we're not Kitarna Gailim, Amenachim Ba'ashma anymore. Now we have a Kviyas Mansuda. Thank you, Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know what we would have done without you. Is that such a big Shevach to give Moshe Rabbeinu that he is, he set up a schedule of daily eating? It's a little bit strange. That's a great Kasha that Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky asks, and his teretz is even greater. Baram Nazkir as a Sipur HaNoida. But let us mention a well-known story. B'nei HaMishpacha Shamu Kiddush V'kamu Litol Yadayim. Guess they weren't Yekkes, but they heard Kiddush, and then they got up afterwards to wash. My minig is to do the opposite. It's the best minig in the world. If you ever want to be a Yekke, it's Kedai. Just for that minig. We wash, and then we make Kiddush, and then we go right away and eat. Anyone keep that minig here? No, you do that?
My friends in laws do, and I always talk in between them. Really.
Yeah, that's the funnest part. That's the best part of the whole thing. There's always somebody. If you have a lot of people, there's always somebody that starts talking before. But it's I heard once that in camps they do this because it's just more convenient. You get 500-600 kids seated for Kiddush or whatever, standing for Kiddush at their table, and then everybody has to go and wash and then come back for, it's just too much. So they just took this minig and a lot of, I think in Tal's Yeshiva I heard they do this also, and they basically, everybody just washes and then sits down and hears Kiddush and Hamaitzi and the meal starts. Anyway, but that's not what happened here. The family heard Kiddush, they then got up to wash hands. Akeres habayis choltzes hatabas. V'nachta liyada tzalachas. And the mother of the house, she took off her ring, her diamond engagement ring, and she put it near her plate, kedei lita yadayim, in order to wash her hands. La'acher ha'arucha, after the meal, tzaru es ha'mapa al kol asher ba, v'nifnifu ha'kol asher. She forgot that she put a ring there. She put it under the plate, and then they were clearing the tablecloth off, and they basically just threw the whole thing out into the garbage. Kailal hatabas kenag, and of course, the ring was there also. And you hear the story a lot. I would say a story that happened to somebody in yeshiva, but I'm afraid for the app, I don't know who's listening to that. Probably nobody, but...
That's the one app I have called for my job.
What?
One app I have to have for my job.
Very good. That's the only app you have?
And
Lyft. Enter anytime.
So,
I don't think Lyft is in business, by the way, anymore. I think you should probably get Uber. I think Lyft went out of business. Which is one that went out of business? Juno. Okay, we'll keep Lyft. Yeah. Anyway, so this happens a lot. A lot of times, kallahs lose their ring, or married women lose their ring, and they're in a restaurant, they forget it there, and it's not a good thing.
So they have links then,
For the washing sink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that also. But she didn't do that. And now, okay, so now we fast forward, we zoom in the camera to the garbage. Okay, now it's in a garbage dump. And now we're watching a chicken in a garbage dump pecking around looking for good stuff. Hides ala remas ashba. So it lands on a pile of garbage. V'niker she'erias chala. Volbusen. Anyone know what that is? Volbusen? I don't either. Okay. At least we're in good company. But anyway, challah and other types of, let's say, cakes and stuff, there was leftover that was also in that tablecloth, and that was what the chicken is pecking at. Barburim, slavadagim, all types of delicacies. Hela bamakairai tabazav uva yalam zayar. And now it takes in its beak the gold ring with that beautiful diamond attached. And what do you think it's going to do with that? Nagas achas ushtayim. It basically tries to, like, bite it. Nuksha v'chasar istam. It has obviously no taste. It's not a food. It's just a ring to the chicken. Ein ba'inyan. And there's no nothing special to the chicken with that. Shmata umatza aitzar. Kitnius b'sheila utfucha. So basically, it just throws it away. It has no interest in that because it's a chicken, and a chicken really has no interest in a ring. If it can't be eaten, then it's not. It's nothing to it. V'ut tzaydik, and you know what? This chicken is right. B'tar ne'gai lusay. In its state of being a chicken, it's 100% right. If it would be a human being, it'd be crazy. What, you're taking garbage, like old food, old stale challah, and you're eating, and you're leaving a $20,000 engagement ring. But he's a chicken. What does he know from it? All he wants is something that he could eat. So in a state of being a chicken, he's doing the normal thing. He's not interested at all in the ring, and he's going for the food. V'anun nizkaram b'divrei ha'gemara. And now we're going to remind ourselves of the Gemara. Gam mumar im mumar l'teyavainu le'shavik heitera v'achal isura. The Gemara speaks about a mumar. A mumar is somebody that basically has an axe to grind with Yiddishkeit. There's different types of mumar. Sometimes it's a mumar lahachas, like he's angry with God, and when he goes to McDonald's, he doesn't mamish with a bren because he wants to rebel against the Rabbi Yisrael. That's one type of mumar. Then there's a mumar l'teyavin. He's not going to McDonald's because he's because he's angry with God. He's not angry with God. He just he's just hungry. And there's no kosher restaurants around, or at least there's no kosher restaurants that charge $2 for three burgers, a fries, and a drink. So when I was by the where was that? Oh, like a week or two before the Siyum HaShas, we had a break of some sort. There was
Chanukah.
So you always need some place to take your kids. So I took my kids to American Dream in MetLife Stadium, in that same place. They built this from family in Edmonton. His name is Germazian. So they built we have a Talmud Yeshiva who's from Edmonton sitting in the back. So he built like tremendous malls in Edmonton, right, and in Minnesota, and now he built he probably has others also, but anyway, he just built one in New Jersey in the Meadowlands. So it's a very cool thing. It was the best time to go because it was like a soft launch, and they didn't the mall stores themselves were not open yet, so you didn't have all the Presta stuff going on there. It was basically just
why after the holidays?
Right after the holidays. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to do it earlier and they missed it. I don't know. It's a good question. But anyway, what happened was, so they have, it's a very cool place, huge, absolutely, it's tremendous, and inside, I don't know if anyone likes ice skating or skiing, but they have indoor ice skating and indoor skiing, so it's like, it's a brilliant hop. I mean, I think in Edmonton they have a beach, right, or something, but, what? So I took my kids there, and they had, there was one kosher restaurant, but it wasn't open yet because none of the stores were open, but they had like a makeshift, they were making it inside the store and bringing it out. It was like a balagan. There was like literally 300 Jews standing online. And then I got literally a deli sandwich and a little fries, like maybe four french fries in it, and I don't know, like mamish nothing, like chicken something, like a little chicken, like mamish, like nothing. It came out to $85. $85. I'm not exaggerating. And a drink, I think. So I'm used to getting, I'm used to that, but to getting soaked. I'm a yid. But there were other people, people that were on the same line. It was like the only restaurant that was open. They're not used to this. So they were like, they ordered like, this and that. They thought it would come out to like $350, for a whole thing. And they were like going crazy because they, they swipe the credit card and they look at their bill like, they're not used to that. But anyway, so that's a mummer l'teyavain goes into McDonald's. He's just hungry. He wants to get a good square meal. And so that's why he did it. So, but the Gemara says something very revealing about a mummer l'teyavain, that he won't, a mummer l'hachaz is dafka looking to go to McDonald's. Even if there would be like a kosher restaurant right next door, he'd still go to McDonald's just to get back at the Rabbi Nishom. But a mummer l'teyavain, he's just doing it because he has an appetite. So he l'shavak hetera, he won't leave the heter v'achli sura. Not dafka going to McDonald's. He's going to McDonald's if he's in the middle of Yehupitz and he doesn't have a kosher restaurant. He'll go there to the last prayer. But if he has a kosher restaurant, he'll go to the kosher restaurant. Im yesh l'fanav heter v'iser, that means that a mummer l'teyavain, if he has a choice between doing something mutter and doing something aser, l'yazav es haheter v'yivchar b'iser. He's not going to leave the heter, and that bad he's not. He has an appetite. But he wants to basically do the right thing. If he can't, he won't do it. Shem kein yase harei humam l'haches. If he would be that, that's the litmus test. Would you even leave, would you not go to a kosher restaurant, which is right next door, and going to a McDonald's? Then you're not a mummer l'teyavain. That means you're a mummer l'haches. That's the way of determining what the status of the person is. And obviously there are big halachic nafkaminas between a mummer l'haches and a mummer l'teyavain. I'll tell you a story that happened with the Kapishnitzer Rebbe. The Kapishnitzer Rebbe was a great gadol. He was in the Dar Day of Gedalim. He was like when Rav Aaron Kotler and Moshe Feinstein. The Kapishnitzer Rebbe was up there. Rav Aaron Kotler held that he was the Tzaddik Adar. And he, one on Yom Kippur, he was walking down the street back from his shul, wherever that was, and he looked in to a restaurant. There was a treif in a restaurant, open on Yom Kippur, and he sees that there's a yid eating in the restaurant on Yom Kippur, tarfus. So the Hasidim said, you know, let's just keep going. The Kavishnitzer Rebbe wouldn't hear. He went into the restaurant on Yom Kippur, and he made a beeline straight for this guy. And the Hasidim got very nervous, like, what is he going to do? They didn't know if he was going to, like, get violent, start screaming at the guy, it's Yom Kippur, give him Musar, Teichacha, whatever. So the Kavishnitzer Rebbe said to him, says, Rabbi Yid, est mit appetit, which means eat with like a hearty appetite. Enjoy and have a geschmack in it. And then he turned around and he left. And the Hasidim were, of course, stunned. And of course, there's always one chassid that says, Rebbe, Ilam Deinu, Rabbeinu, like, what was that all about? Why it's Yom Kippur? He's eating like shrimp. Like, why are you telling him eat with an appetite? What's going on with that? So he said, I'll tell you why. He said that there are different nuances in avaryanim, like we're learning about just now. There's the mumr lahachis, and there's the mumr l'teyavin, and they're two different. There's one is code red and one is code orange. Neither of them are good, but it's much much worse to be a mumr lahachis if you're eating on Yom Kippur to go against the Rabbeinu Shlom. That's really 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 bad. And if you're eating on Yom Kippur because you're hungry, so that's bad. It's not really. It's not good, but at least it gives it a little bit, it gives it some, it gives it a little more context. So he said, I went into the restaurant and I said to him, enjoy, because what I wanted to do was, I wanted to downgrade his Avera from being a mummer, doing an act as a mummer lahachis. I don't know what's going on, so I don't know why he's sitting in a restaurant and him keep reading tarfas, but I don't want him to burn in Gehenna.
For brazenness.
So it might be a mummer lahachis a little bit. So he says by him having, if he would talk and listen to me and he'd have appetite, he'd have a geschmack in it, now he becomes a mummer l'teyavin. It's not good either, but it's much better. It's you're saving a little bit of Gehenna instead of being at 450 or at 250, the oven. So that is the difference between a mummer lahachis and a mummer l'teyavin. Anyway, so Anu Kishulafan Neno Sifre Kaidesh Arin Male Vitain Biman Nivchar. So now he's asking a very good question. So if what it's saying is that if I have a choice between doing something good and doing something not good, and I choose not good, that makes me what? A mumur lahachis. That's what we just said. If I have no choice and the only thing I have is bad, so I'm a mumur l'teyavin. If I have a choice between doing something good or bad, eating in a kosher restaurant, non-kosher restaurant, and I go to the non-kosher restaurant, I won't. If I go to the non-kosher restaurant, that means that I'm a mummer. That means I'm a mummer lahachas. But if I have a choice, so if that's true, so then why are we not considered to be a mummer lahachas every time we make a bad choice? If we have a choice between going to the Shemitah and learning, or going on our smartphones and doing something that we shouldn't be doing on it, not everything but great Jewish wisdom. That should brand us as a mamar lahachas, because look what we're doing. We're leaving good and we're going to bad. That shows that we're doing something lahachas l'chayah, right? That's his question, and his answer is loy. No. Einenu mumrim lahachas. We are not considered to be mumrim lahachas. Why? Chalila, ela rak tarnagaylim. You know what we are? We're not mumrim lahachas. We're chickens. What does it mean we're chickens? Ze amnam yalaim, aval anu mismaygagim mibulbusin. We are looking at Tyra like a chicken looks at Tyra. If we would know what Tyra really is, and we were like somebody that understood that we're connoisseurs of the better things in life, we would be chapping learning Torah. The problem is we're like chickens. We look at Torah and we're like pecking at it and doesn't, it's not interesting. So let's go look at the Geshmaka stuff. Let's go get a newspaper. Let's go online. Let's whatever. And because we don't know what the good things in life are. We're not people that are mumra lahachas. When we make bad choices, it's just we don't appreciate what we have. Just like the chicken, with the chicken, shouldn't he have, like, you know, taken that diamond ring and put it in his feathers or something, in his wing, and like held onto it and gone to a pawn shop or something with it and tried to make something? He's a chicken. He doesn't understand what it is. He doesn't understand the value of a diamond ring. Can't blame him. When we make bad choices in life, very often it's not because we're a mumra. I'm not looking to like, yeah, I'm a mumra, I'm not going to the Beis Medrash. It's just that this is so much more tempting. It's easy, it's enjoyable, it's nice graphics, it's relaxing, I could chill, I could unwind. It's just more enjoyable for me to watch a movie or play a video game than to learn Yetzias HaShabbos. It just is. But that's only because we don't really have a taste yet for what Torah is. We're still chickens. Our job is to not be chicken. We can't say, okay, good, I'm a chicken and I'll take that. We don't want to be chickens. We wanna be aficionados in what the good thing in life is, what Torah is. But until then, we're not a mumra lahachas when we make bad decisions. Moshe Rabbeinu bikesh lehavchenu levnei adam. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was making this meal plan for Klal Yisrael, he wasn't trying. Moshe Rabbeinu Shkayach, you made like a brilliant. I don't know how you thought of that. You made meat at night, bagels in the morning. That's like a Nobel Prize. What's the big deal? We didn't understand the Medrash, says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that Klal Yisrael should be Ketar Negaylin Hamenakrim Ba'ashpa. That was the lesson of the Gemara. We shouldn't be like chickens pecking around in a garbage dump. And so Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make us transformed into human beings from being chickens. Adam Atem, you are a man. V'ani Elokeichem, and I'm your God, says Yechezkel. Torah Tomadu Kalayim. You should be learning Torah the whole day. V'yigisa b'yayim v'layla. You have to be dwelling in Torah day and night. Lekach. Natslu kol daka. You have to chaperein every minute. Bekach yeh maynechem. Lechol teichlu pamayim b'yayim b'dayechem. Eat twice a day, and that's good enough. I don't want you to be a chicken anymore. A chicken is somebody that has no shaychas to Torah. Chicken sees a diamond ring, nothing. Let's go to the garbage. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was making this, he was saying that, I want you to be a human being. It's not that I'm making you a meal plan. I'm making you human. If you want to be like a slob, you want to be like a person without any schedule, and you're just like noshing the whole day. So nebuch, that means that we're not appreciating Torah. You see, the mail of a meal plan is that if you eat a solid breakfast and then you feel comfortable, now you can go to the Beis Medrash alone. Let's say you don't. Let's say you miss breakfast, now you're going to the Beis Medrash. The whole time you're thinking about food, and then you can't concentrate on learning. And then you take a nash, you go up to the fourth floor, you buy something in the vending machine, you spend, 20 minutes with that, and then you come down, and it's not a way of learning. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying you have to have a Seder Hayom. You have to have a schedule. You have to eat in the morning, you have to eat at night, and the rest of the day you sit and learn. That's what a human being does. But the deeper you say that we're learning tonight is that we have to try ourselves to not be Tarnagailim. We have to get an appreciation for Tarnagailim. It's a very hard thing to do. And I've spoken to many, many guys over the years and many guys this year, and everybody's in the same boat. I mean, there are guys in yeshiva that they have this natural love of learning, and they just, you just put them in a table and a chair in the Beis Medrash, and you give them a sefer, and they're in Olam Haba. They could just sit there. You wind them up first day of the Zman, and they just keep going until they're just in heaven. It happens. There are guys like that, and that's a very, very very enviable. But I would say most people are not that way. Most people, it's not so geschmack to learn, because we're chickens. We don't appreciate it yet. And there's many reasons why we don't appreciate it. On a simple level, if we're still building our skills, so then it's like, you know, here, read a book of Greek, read a book of laws in Greek or Chinese, and, you know, see how enjoyable that is. I don't know Aramaic. It's very hard until I get the ebb and flow of the Gemara, and then Rashi and Tysis and Rishonim. It's a lot. So that's the simple reason why it's not so easy always for us to get into learning. But then there's like the metaphysical reasons about what's taking place. And that is that, and I think I've told the story with Rav Steinemann enough times, I think this year, at one of the Vad, I don't know whether it's tonight, Tuesday or Wednesday, but basically the site is, Rav Steinemann says, and many people have said it, and it's not a chiddush, that if we're not so into learning as we want to be and as we should be, it's very often because we're doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Torah to reside in a body and in a mind and in a heart that's pure and that's clean and that's a good kli for it. And if we're spending a large part of our day with the internet and with books and with magazines and with radio and listening and doing and things that are not Torah-dic, then it's almost like we're not able to be a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to learn Torah. We can learn a little bit, but it's not the same. It's a different type of learning when you're totally shakua and learning. That's why a lot of guys, when they're in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't know what the policy in the yeshivas are in Eretz Yisrael about smartphones, but I imagine that most of them say you can't have a smartphone. Is that fair to say? Yeah. What?
They usually have like a mid-range policy because you need... Because, like, oh, should get lost. You can use Google Maps, hell, you can't find anywhere in Israel.
Okay, but is there internet on the smartphone? Are you allowed to have... I know my son's yeshiva, he goes to base, and they... He has to have like a flip phone, like a kosher flip phone. They let a fold. They let regular. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Whatever. It's good. It's good. But it's good. It's crazy. I mean, it's not any crazier than us having it here. But at least the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is that there's no college, all you could do all day is sit, you know, you have the opportunity to just sit and learn. And when you have these distractions, it stops you from being able to maximize your learning, besides for the fact that you're always calling. I mean, that's also crazy. Like when I was in Israel, going back to 1987, 88, crazy, right? It's nuts. Imamish seems like yesterday, I'm telling you. I know that sounds like a long time ago, but if you would tell me that it was... Not yesterday, but it seems like not that long ago. And back in the olden days, they didn't have credit. They didn't have, like, cards and cell phones. There was no phones. There was a pay phone in the yeshiva, one pay phone for the whole yeshiva. And in order to make it work, there was something called asimonim, which is basically a token. It's like a round, it's like maybe the size of a nickel with a hole in the middle. And you put it into the phone and you have to, like, if you were calling Yerushalayim, so it and they like drop into like this, it was like a pinball machine almost, and it drops in and you put a few in and they drop down after you use up, like, let's say 5 minutes, you lose one of them and then another one. You keep feeding them, you have a whole bag of them. But when you call a miracle with them, it mamash goes, and you have to like keep on feeding. It was like so archaic, but that's the way we used to do it. So I would call literally, I think Erev Shabbos I would call, and I would call literally 3 minutes because that's all I could afford. I mamash went through a whole bag of asimonim in like 3 minutes. Just keep on, and you can't even speak to them because you're so busy, like with two hands putting it in. Like you have to go like that the whole time. But that was it. And so you're almost like hermetically sealed in Eretz Yisrael. You're today, every day, you know, they're WhatsApping, they're FaceTiming, and it's like you're in America, so stay in America, save me $25,000-$30,000, like what are you doing? But that is the story. But if the point is that if we're doing stuff that we're really not supposed to be doing, don't be shocked that the Torah is not, you know, so geschmack for us. Maybe the Torah really is geschmack. It's really, but we're chickens. What's making us chickens like and not appreciating the Torah? Because we make ourselves into chickens by looking at stuff, by listening to stuff, by thinking about stuff, by being involved in stuff. All of these things are making it that it's hard to compete with these things and then sit and learn Torah. I'm so used to hyper-stimulation from the video games and from the internet and from the this and that, and then I sit down with a Gemara Rashi Taisus, and like it's like, but it's our fault. We fed ourselves this. We made ourselves into chickens. That's the bad news. The good news is that it's not too late, that we could really still turn the ship around if we want to. It's hard. It's hard, and it takes a lot of hiskabros. You have to be hiskabro over yourself because it's difficult. But the less time that we spend online, the more our hearts will open, be makabel tayra. Again, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself because this is a machla that's the whole dar has this machla, and it's the challenge of our generation, no doubt. That's why a couple of years ago, Matisyahu Solomon made this huge asifa, they called it, and it was like for against the internet. And at first, they thought it was going to be the like a joke, like people are going to come and fill up. It was in
City Field,
and what year was it?
2012.
Right. What day was it?
I think it was May
12th, was it? Anyway, okay. So what?
It was same year as Yom HaShoah.
Was it?
Yeah, they said one could be some. We first have the same year in the Asifa, then we'll have the Asifa to Yom HaShoah.
So I called the organizer of this event, and I said, you know, you're getting Lakewood guys in. They bust like thousands of Lakewood guys, and I said, I'm in Lander College for Men. We need it here. We actually use the internet, and like in Lakewood, they're not using the internet. Why are they even coming? Like, we need it. He says, you're right. And he sent me over like an envelope, and it had like 70 VIP seats, like the Spitz seat. It was the best seats in the house. Like, if we'd buy it, it would be like $300 a ticket, but he gave it to us. What? Okay. After the Gedolim, yeah. So, and it was amazing. They ended up filling up not only City Field, but also there was Arthur Ashe Stadium, which is not so far. That was like a tennis stadium that had another 20,000 seats or something. They filled that up also, and there were like tremendous Gedolim there. It was an amazing thing. And the point was, what was the point? The point was that at least we're trying to like show the Rabbeinu Shalom we want to be Matara ourselves. It's hard. It's an impossible thing. I have to work and, you know, I have to study and I need, you know, you need the internet today for so many things. But I'm trying. I want to be Matara myself. I want to. I know that it's a problem. And that's when tags started coming along, you know, to filter phones and people, a lot of people threw out their phones or they downgraded to flip phones or whatever. But that's something that we really should consider. And it's not, and if you can't, you know, get rid of the smartphone because you need it, and you need it, you know, for a lot of things. You need it for Waze, you need it for, you know, there's all the email, whatever. There's stuff that a yid could use a smartphone for, but you have to, like you said, like Mary said before, you know, he only has a few apps. We don't need all the apps that we have. There are apps that are really, really bad for us to have. You don't just because we have a smartphone doesn't mean we have to have a smartphone, you know, tumma lamahadrin. Like we could just like take it easy. Like we don't need Netflix and we don't need all the video games. We don't need, you know, Amazon Prime movie or whatever they call it. We don't need that. It's not for us. It's bad enough that we have internet itself and we have, you know, but to have all the extra apps, that's something that's really, that would be a good start. And the more that we start showing the Rabbeinu Shalom that we're trying, it's hard. We're human beings. We got used to it. We're shtickle addicted. We understand that. But we want to really show you that we are not chickens. We're trying to make ourselves better. And if we could do even, you know, get rid of one or two apps, you know, a week, a month or whatever, just to show that we're working on it, we're trying. And it's hard, but we're trying. Then maybe that might be like the ticket that we that will help us open up our eyes and get into learning more and be able that Torah gets absorbed in us and it stays in us and it sits well with us. And I think that's a very, very critical yesod that we learned tonight from Yaakov Galinsky. Okay.